in the precious name of Him who gave Himself for us, our ransom, our Savior, our Lord, in the name of Jesus, amen. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you will, because we're going to look at a little bit more of Matthew chapter 13 than our text indicates. Our text is from Matthew 13, beginning with verse 53, as Pastor mentioned a moment ago. The theme for our worship tonight is honoring Jesus as Lord and Savior. Jesus is Lord and Savior. The purpose, I believe, of our text for this evening is that we would see Jesus as He really is, who He is and how He reveals Himself to mankind, to His first disciples, to the followers who listen to Him, and for us, especially to us, as we see Him not only as Savior, but as Lord, as Master, and as King of Kings. Tonight in our text, actually just before our text, if you look at the beginning of Matthew chapter 13, we see that Jesus is in northern Israel, actually probably north of the Sea of Galilee. And in the area He's preaching and teaching, and He's preaching and teaching to the people, and He's also preaching and teaching about those cities and about what He sees there. Actually, if you look at the last of chapter 11, Jesus speaks, "Woe! Woe to you who are in Bethsaida! Woe to you who are in Chorazin!" You see, if what happened in you, in your cities, happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, they too, these cities, would also have been destroyed. So Jesus is speaking to the people of northern Israel, and He's also speaking about them. What we also see is that as Jesus is in and around the Sea of Galilee, there are many who come to listen to Him. Matthew chapter 13, the first several verses say, as a matter of fact, there were so many people that came to be around Him, Jesus decided one day when He left the house and went out by the Sea of Galilee that He needed to get into a boat so that they could all see and hear. You know what it's like when there's a crowd, don't you? There's such a crowd of people, perhaps, around someone that you can't really see that individual. And maybe with so many bodies around, you can't hear what's being spoken either. So what Jesus did was to get into a boat and then to be a little bit of a distance from the shore. And the shore itself would have been a kind of a natural amphitheater. Any of you fellas or ladies too out ever on a fishing boat? And when you're out on a boat, out on the lake, you know how your voice carries? That's what was taking place in Matthew chapter 13. So that He could preach and teach, so they could hear and see, He was telling them what they needed to know about the coming of the kingdom of God, the coming of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus speaks a number of parables. One of those parables was about the sower of seed. It's not so easy to see on this image, but here's a farmer who's throwing the seed. If you're looking in Matthew 13, that's the parable about the man who throws the seed, and some falls on the path, and some on the rocky ground, and some on the weeded ground, and some in the fertile soil. It's a parable about the kingdom of God. God's word comes, and some of it's snatched up by the devil. Some of it begins to grow in a person's heart and life until difficulty and trouble comes, and then it's snatched away. Sometimes that word of God is planted and grows, and then the worries of the world and wealth snatch it away. And sometimes the word of God, Jesus says, is planted in such a way that it grows and multiplies and accomplishes what God wants. Another parable that Jesus told was the parable about the mustard seed. Remember, the smallest of seeds that grows into a huge tree or bush so that animals can be protected and the birds of the air can nest in its branches. The kingdom of God might seem like a small thing, but God includes everyone, who believes in Jesus. And there's plenty of room, and you'll be safe in God's heavenly kingdom. Another parable he tells is the parable about the treasure that was hidden. It was hidden and somebody found it. He went and sold everything he had to buy the field where the hidden treasure was. Or a person who gathered pearls, a pearl collector, went and sold everything he had to get this one most magnificent pearl. Jesus was saying that's what heaven is like, an eternal life, and that's what faith is like, to give up everything for the sake of faith and the gift of eternal life. Another parable, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that's thrown out and gathers every kind together. And when the day of judgment comes, God will divide those who are to be brought in and safely gathered and those who are to be put out because of their lack of faith. And finally, and I know it's not in exactly the right order, the parable about the weeds growing in the field. There was a man who had this field, and the harvesters, the workers for the farmer, said, "Master, there are all these weeds. Didn't you plant good seed?" And he said, "I did plant good seed, but the enemy came and also planted weed seeds." So the worker said, "Well, should we go out and gather up the weed seeds and destroy them?" And the master said, "No, if you do that, you'll pull up the good seeds too. Wait until the harvest, and then they'll be divided." Jesus was saying that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. I will allow the good and the evil to grow together in the world, and I will divide it when the kingdom of God comes and when heaven comes. So Jesus was preaching and teaching these parables, and now in verse 53 of our text, Jesus then, after he had taught these things, went back to his hometown. Back to the map again, he had been at the Sea of Galilee, and now he went to his hometown of Nazareth. Do you remember from Matthew chapter 2 that when Jesus was a little boy, he had fled with his mom and dad, his earthly father, and his mother to Egypt? And when Joseph fell asleep, when Herod died, then the angel of the Lord said to them, "You can go back to Israel now. It's safe." And instead of saying in Judea, which is around the Dead Sea, the bottom of our map, they realized that there was still another wicked ruler in that area. So they went to Galilee, to the northern part of Israel, and they settled in Nazareth. Now in our text, Jesus comes back home, back to the place where he had grown up, back where he was known, back where he had lived for many years. And in our text, Jesus went to the synagogue, there to preach and teach. And as he preached and as he taught, they were amazed. They were amazed at what he was saying and the power and authority he had. But our text tells us also that there were those who were offended at Jesus. They thought they knew him, but did they really? They thought they knew him, but did they honor him or worship him as either Savior or Lord? And the answer for most of them was no. What our text says is the people said, "Isn't this Joseph's boy? Didn't we see him in the carpenter shop? Didn't we see him growing up and learning the carpenter's trade? Isn't this just Jesus?" And then they said, "What about Mary? Isn't his mother Mary? We know her. She's part of our community. We know all about her." And then they said, "Well, what about his brothers and sisters? Isn't that Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't these his brothers and aren't these his sisters? We know all about Jesus. So how can he be preaching and teaching what he is, and how could he possibly be doing these miracles?" The Bible says they were offended at him. You see, they thought they knew all they needed to know about Jesus, and because they thought they knew everything they needed to know, they weren't really able to see or to hear. What their eyes saw, what their ears heard, for them didn't make sense. It didn't jive what they thought they already knew about him. You know, we do something like that too. I thought and mentioned just a moment ago this fable, the story about the king with the children as they saw somebody they knew and they played with and grew up with. That sounds like a fable, but how about something a little bit closer to real life? What about this fella? Well, he's considered by many to be one of our great presidents in the United States, Ronald Reagan. But on the other side, you see little Ronnie with his puppy. He actually grew up in Dixon, Illinois, which was just a short distance from the first parish I served. I was in Rockford for 22 years, and Ronnie grew up not far away from Rockford, Illinois. Considered by many to be a great president, but those who knew him, those who grew up with him, those who had visited his boyhood home might have thought, that's just Ronnie. They thought they knew everything about him, so were sometimes confused to learn what was true about Ronald Reagan. Let's go back to our text. There were those who thought they knew all about Jesus, and because they thought they knew all about him, they didn't see who he really was. They didn't see that Jesus was the creator of all the world, that everything that came into existence, visible and invisible, was created by the almighty hands of this very same Jesus who was preaching and teaching them. Because they thought they knew all about Jesus, they didn't know what he was talking about. They didn't understand and couldn't perceive why his death on the cross would save them and all the world from sin and death and the power of the devil. They thought they knew all they needed to know, but because they did think that, they didn't honor him as Lord and Savior. There are many in our world who have that same problem, thinking that they know all there is to know about Jesus. He was a prophet. He was a good man. He was a teacher. That's true. He was all of those things, but he was much more than that. If there are people that are in our world who think only that about Jesus, they take offense. They take offense at the idea that there's only one way of salvation, only one way to the Father through Jesus. They take offense when he says that our love for him ought to be so great that our love for others around us should pale in comparison. They take offense when he says, take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself and follow me as Lord and Savior. And sometimes we don't always see who Jesus is either. We've grown up, many of us, knowing about Jesus, hearing the stories about Jesus, believing in him, and sometimes we feel like Jesus is such a good buddy of ours that he's really going to kind of overlook when I say this thing that I shouldn't, or think that thing that I shouldn't think, or do that thing that I shouldn't. Maybe he'll just kind of wave it away. After all, aren't Jesus and I buddies? He is our Savior. He died for our sins, yours and mine. He died when we're offended at him, and for the offense that the world sees in him too. And Jesus calls us his followers. He desires that we see him and recognize who he really is, our Savior, and also the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. What Jesus desires is that as we live our lives, we would do so in a congruent way, in a way that goes hand in hand and side by side. What I mean is, he desires that our walk match our talk, and that our talk match our walk. You see, we can't say that we're living for Jesus if we don't speak and act that way. The way we speak and act need to go hand in hand. To recognize Jesus as our Savior, to thank God that He sent Him to be our Savior and our Lord. The one who watches over us and cares for us. The one who will come on the last day to be the judge of all the world. The one who died for us to be our Savior. And so we humbly come before Him tonight, recognizing who He is for us and what the Bible says about Him. He is your Savior and He is your Lord. He calls you and me to live for Him, to serve Him, to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Him, and to act and speak in such a way in our world that others do not take offense at Jesus because of what they see in us, that our talk and our walk would go together as we proclaim Jesus to all the world, who He truly is, Savior of the world, and our Lord too. May God bless you to that end, as God's Spirit works in you and among you and through us to accomplish His good and gracious will. We bow humbly before Him, Him who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus, who He really is, your Savior and Lord. Amen.